Hello, and welcome back to the Now Age podcast. This is me, Ruby, and we're returning this week after a week's break during the Mercury retrograde with the next installment of our monthly astrocast with the resident astrologers Bess Matassa and Sandy Citron. I don't know if you guys feel this, but all three of us, myself, Bess, and Sandy, always await Pisces season with a bit of a like, okay, there goes deadlines out the windows. There goes having anything that makes sense to say. And with Mercury retrograde in the mix in Pisces, it's definitely felt like a couple of weeks of wading through molasses when it comes to getting our words out. So definitely, like I said, a timely time to take a break from the podcast, but we're really excited to be back talking all about Aries season. This is the start of the astrological year. The spring equinox, which is happening this week, represents the beginning of our next cycle around the zodiac wheel. And so there's a real kind of like fresh start energy to the weeks and months to come. Bess and Sandy, of course, get deep into this in their usual beautiful, poetic and conversational style. And I hope you find some real gems in their conversation to see you through the month ahead. Definitely have your diary or your calendar with you while you're listening so you can make note of some of the key astro dates that they talk about. And also, please, please make sure you are following on Instagram at @_numinous and subscribe to our newsletter. We have some really, really exciting announcements to make in the coming month or so about new ways to help you learn astrology for yourself, new ways that you can tap into the power really of learning and understanding how to read your own birth chart and actually do your own astrological divinations. It's a really exciting time for us. Cannot wait to share what's coming up. So like I said, if you keep following on Instagram and make sure you get our newsletter, which you can subscribe to through the link in our Instagram profile and also through the pop-ups on the website at the-numinous.com, make sure you're following. You'll be the first to hear about all that exciting news. For now, enjoy this episode and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello, Numiverse, and welcome to the Astrocast, a podcast all about colliding with and celebrating the current cosmic energies. I'm Bess Matassa.
And I'm Sandy Citron.
And we're about to embark on a fiery, I wanted to say brawl, that's not the word.
It could be.
A fiery mission into Aries season. But before we do, I want to take a pause and check in.
Yeah.
Pisces season. Jesus Christ.
Really? Literally.
Was a Pisces. Yeah.
He was
literally
a Pisces. Yeah. Let's review how it went. For me, I had a lot of emotions flowing, way more than normal. So I kind of go like on and off with emotions. Like there'll be a year where I just cry every day and then there'll be a year where I don't cry at all.
Yeah.
And this Pisces season was very tearful in a good way. Like it was like a lot of opening, releasing old emotions. I think it started when I went, I took a group on a retreat in Costa Rica in March, which I do every year. It's a yoga and astrology retreat. And I got this massage. There's a healer there who is this incredible healing artist, masseuse. And it just like, I just was bawling hysterically. And then since then, I've just been crying all the rest of the Pisces season.
Yeah. I'm not someone whose emotions ever turn off, I guess. So it was a pretty consistently emotional one for me. But I think the phrase, the agony and the ecstasy really came through for me this Pisces season. The first, actually all the way up until the new moon, I was almost in this like, I felt like my body was just like bumping against things and like getting affected, and I didn't have to harden any of my edges. I remember being on the train once, I think pretty early into Pisces season, and literally, you know, that point where you're kind of steeling yourself so you don't bump into other people on the train, or you try to keep yourself contained space. I was completely just like surrendering and like feeling, not like feeling up on people on the train, but just like my edges were gone. And then there was this kind of ecstatic feeling of, oh, I don't have to police the boundaries of myself in this way. Like myself, my core of myself is just going to remain intact and I can let myself bump up against the world and be affected by it. And then post new moon, things took a slightly different turn, but I think we spoke about that image of things receding in the rearview mirror as part of the kind of Piscean flare, and things really started to fall away really intensely. Projects and partnerships and a lot of pain and a lot of grief coming up with that. But in that space, and we were talking about this before we started recording, I began talking out loud to God. Very Mercury retrograde in Pisces. And, you know, I was thinking about my relationship to divine or the unseen world or whatever you want to call it, God. And it's never been really an explicit one. It's been like tacit in the way that I move through the world. But I don't know that I've really had a moment where I've spoken out loud in that way. But I literally, in tears the other night, was just like, hey, God, there's some things that I need to talk to you about. There's some things that I can't carry on my own anymore. And it was really intense and deeply Piscean. And we'll see where that all goes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, this dissolving part of Pisces is maybe the scariest part of it for us earth beings.
Yeah.
We don't like things to dissolve unless we are in control of that dissolving to happen.
Especially for too cardinal heavy people like us as well. Yeah. Dissolution. Now, I was going to say never easy, but I don't know that that's true. There can be a certain ease in it, you know, a going with.
There can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, starting with our sun moves into Aries on March 20th. Right around 6 p.m. And then right away, of course, we have a full moon. It's just the way things have been going.
Yeah. And, you know, the spring equinox, this is a real banger of a cosmic day.
A banger of a day.
Yeah, a banger of a day. I don't even know if that's a phrase, but yeah. So when you were looking at kind of the overall gestalt feeling of Aries season, what was coming through for you, Sandy?
Well, what came through was... let's see. I'm trying to make this sound not creepy. So
let it be creepy. I think we're ready for it.
We're okay with creepy.
Yeah.
So basically, it was like the idea of kind of fighting your way into another dimension. So what came to mind was the TV show Stranger Things, and I think there's different parts in the show where they're trying to like break through into the other side, And they had to kind of like figure out how to do that, I think. I might be making that up. But in this image I have, you're really fighting to make a hole, a portal, to go into this other dimension.
Interesting.
And so this, to me, you know, this is a symbolism that came to mind, but I think it has a lot to say about the way that Aries can be confrontational and trying to make things happen and trying to lead and trying to be the visionary and get us forward to the next zone, and then all the Pisces energy that's still happening this season, which is about dissolving into that other dimension, being neither here nor there, or really kind of letting something else flow through or open up the truth of a spiritual realm.
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
Where that's all coming
It feels in some ways an extension of what we were talking about last season in terms of these metaphors of like the place you can't quite go. Like yours was like the kitten with the thread and then like the yarn that dissolves around the corner, and mine like this kind of like Blade Runner image or like what's beyond the kind of scene. And now it's like in what I'm hearing you say, it's like we're actually breaking through to that unseen, or we're attempting to kind of break through to that unseen. We're not content necessarily still to just let it kind of disappear around the corner or be unknown to us.
Right, we're taking action with it.
Interesting.
What about you?
I had a couple of things that came through, and the first thing that was very clear to me was, at first I thought it was the image similar to the Titanic with Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio when she's standing on the edge of the boat and she almost appears like a masthead on the boat, you know, when she's leaning back and I don't know what he says to her, but he's sort of like holding her like wings are outstretched. And then I realized it wasn't quite that. It was the image of a hood ornament on like a muscle car.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, what's that about? Like, there's such a drive and such an intensity and such a focus to the energy sometimes of Aries season. But like you were saying, with all of this kind of softening and this dissolution energy, it feels like this kind of containment, like a commitment with our whole body to be able to move in a certain direction. But the hood ornament is not the thing that's like revving the engine. It's the thing that's riding. And it's like, here I am in my emboldened being, and like there's a certain fortification to the way it's just sort of like outstretched and chest kind of open, but there isn't any agitation. It's being driven to a certain extent, as much as it's also like the one who's like first meeting the kind of directionality, even though it's not like the explicit decision maker in the direction, because it's not like the driver of the car, or it's not the actual engine of the car. But there's something about that committing with your whole body this season, mm-hmm. to a kind of direction, even if it's, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's sort of like right, wrong, indifferent. It's not about judging the direction, but committing to the presence of your whole body too. And also like to a certain extent, feeling like the joy in that kind of directionality, or that kind of placing the body in that line of being. And then I also got the song Moves Like Jagger, I think it's Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Song, like, in conjunction with the card that I pulled, which was the Knight of Wands reversed.
Wow.
And, like, just, like, moving in this particular way that's kind of about a bodily commitment, and it doesn't need to be intellectualized. You don't need to, like, figure out the plan necessarily, but it's like, all right, like, my full body is going to be moving in this kind of, this direction. And then a lot, which we can talk about as the full moons kind of come up, but a lot about simplicity and about aerodynamics. Like, no more drama, Mary J. Blige's no more drama, no bells and whistles, that phrase, and this kind of strip it down, like, make it clean, Biore pore strips, whatever the image is, of really kind of lean, not mean, but lean. There's a certain leanness to Aries energy, and especially this season, as we talk about, I think, the moons as well.
I love this kind of, what I'm kind of feeling from what you're talking about is this idea of, like, showing up and just being spontaneous and there and alive.
Yeah.
And then seeing what happens.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I just looked up Mick Jagger's astrology to see if it was related, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, he's pretty leany, yeah. I think. Yeah. But a fiery being, nonetheless. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So
this, March 20th.
Yeah. So this full moon, this first full moon in Libra, and this is there's a double full moon, there's two full moons in Libra this Aries season, which is feels very significant to me. The first one being on the 20th around 9:43 p.m. in the evening at Eastern time, and the second one closing out Aries season on the 19th. But what was coming through for you specifically for this first moon that's kind of our debut into Aries season?
So this moon, man, everything I have to say, I feel like it needs softening almost. So just take me with a grain of salt today. So this, my image for this was a person kind of trekking or hiking up a mountainside. And as they are kind of energetically, you know, this isn't a soft rolling amble. This is like a hike. Like they're, yeah. You know, maybe they have their walking sticks and there's energy and they're going. They're continuously kind of looking around for things to like pop out of the dark places along the side of the trail and like spook them. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of like agitation there. But then when they get up to the top, the whole reason and the whole kind of purpose for this whole hike was to like sit in meditative peacefulness. And so there's this balance happening, or this opposition happening, between this kind of like energized, action oriented, going for it, bearing down the trail. There could be some like triggering kind of boogeymen from our past popping out. Maybe we have to work with those triggers on an emotional level. But then at the top here is this opportunity to find some inner balance and some mental clarity and some emotional kind of ease and opening through meditation and through trying to be really present and clear and balancing your mind, body, and spirit. So you know, we can focus on different parts of this little journey. We can focus on the person sitting at the top of the mountain, totally like peaceful, calm, and clear, or we can focus on the trek to get up there and what that feels like. And I'm sure over the course of the full moon phase, we'll focus on all those things.
Yeah. The two words that really sparked for me when you were speaking were presence and clarity. And this was really the full moon where Mary J. Blige, No More Drama, was really coming through for me. And it kept being associated in my mind with the phrase, we are ready to break what's breaking us. And this feeling of almost, and it really, I mean, it comes through, I think, for the whole journey through Aries season leading us to the second full moon. But this idea of starting to really back yourself completely and like kind of like take no shit from yourself anymore in a certain way. There's this feeling of, you know, there aren't, and you and I talked about this a little bit before we started, Sandy, there aren't any major aspects happening with this moon. But Chiron is traveling quite close to the sun in Aries. And there's this feeling almost, you know, Chiron, we've talked in the past about this idea of letting and allowing with Chiron. And something feels different to me about this full moon and this activation. And it's kind of like, no mas. Like, shake it the fuck off. I was getting all these visuals of both, like, that Florence and the Machine song, Shake It Out. Is it Shake It Out? I forget what it is.
The last person to ask.
And then the Taylor Swift, like, Shake It Off. And just all these visuals of people in, you know, just states of, like, enoughness. And literally shaking things out of their body and breaking things that are kind of breaking us. And also being willing to back ourselves against, you know, against others who are perhaps projections of some of the internalized narratives of shame or not enoughness that we have, but also to back ourselves against ourselves, against the parts of ourselves that are threatening, like kind of spinning with those stories of not enoughness that we've internalized, the ways that we talk to ourselves or behave in the world that are impeding our full presence, like you say, because there's such an energy around this full moon too that's about the whole self, like the whole self resting there. And, you know, with Aries and the Libra axis, it is this axis of, you know, willpower and compromise, self and other. But this really feels like one that is about, yeah, is about defending your own life
it's
in many ways.
It's so funny. I literally had the same thought process myself before we met. And I was just, I kept having this image of this solo kind of hiker. And I kept asking, like, but isn't this about relationships? Because that's Libra full moon to me, always just speaks relationship. And the answer was no. Not this time.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I got into, like, my intellectual body or whatever thinking that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no fucking way.
Me too.
Like, this is about a solitary shocking of the solitary system almost in this way that's like, shake it out, shake it off, like, up. Like musculature, mm-hmm. just like this, the self against the self in a way that's like literally like you're using your own selfhood as like sandpaper for your own soul or something. Mm-hmm. Like there's some sort of like that frictional quality of this moon and sanding your edges down. Not like your edges like, oh, you need to become smooth or reject parts of yourself that are hard, but like just sloughing it off, lightening the load, you know, almost like in your image, I imagine you, this figure kind of ascending the mountain and like literally just shedding shit like on the way up that's like too heavy, gross, don't like that cliff bar, like whatever the thing is, and just like no.
Yeah, like Cheryl Strayed in Wild.
Yeah.
She's just getting rid of all this extra stuff she was carrying.
Totally.
Yeah, profound. So on a personal level, you know, thinking about that for yourself, and I don't really have any answers for you, but just the question of like, how to be in relationship with yourself right now and how that can feed your relationships with others once you're finding that meditative balance at the top of the mountain and you've really let go of all that baggage and you've faced those boogeymen and kind of like let it all out.
Yeah. And where have you, I mean, this sounds like a super intense call to action, but frankly, where have you disowned yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where have you not defended yourself? And it's not like, oh, this Aries axis, this Aries Libra axis has to be all about defense and offense and this big agitated battle. But let's be real. You know, where have you maybe not given yourself the full justice you deserve or your full place on this earth? I meant to look it up before we started recording, but, and of course, I'm going to like, the caveat always being, I know nothing about the subject that I'm about to speak about, but I was reading something that was connected to, that connected Kabbalah and the Tarot, which there's many texts on the connection between, specifically like the Tree of Life and the Major Arcana and the Minor. But there was something, and I'm gonna look up the quote later, but it was something about like relationship to God and like it being part of that relationship to God being about giving yourself the position you deserve at any time. Like saying like, here I am, like here I am on earth. This kind of like Aries rallying cry of like, here I am. I get to be here. I don't have to apologize for my existence. And where have you perhaps continued to apologize in some way through some sort of internalized narrative of not enoughness or smallness or any of those kinds of qualities that keep you out of sort of your soul plumpness? And I feel like this is a real, this debut to Aries season is a real moment for reckoning about that.
Yeah. Sovereignty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just claiming it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh boy. This Aries stellium is like, ooh. No, we were talking before about, and you know, I think we've referenced on this podcast before that Sandy has a very Libra heavy chart and I have a very Aries heavy chart. But I was joking with Sandy before we started recording that I really felt like it's like in the past episodes when we've talked about like the true meaning of Cancer season or the true meaning, I was looking at all the transits and I was feeling into it and feeling into this place in my life. And I was like, damn, I'm going to need every ounce of my Aries stellium for this one. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to be a true Aries season. Mm-hmm. Like, and that kind of resilience and that fortitude. And it's not about reaching for the external. Like, these are resources you've already developed on your journey. This is about recovery to me. It's about remembering.
Yeah. You know? To show up for yourself.
Yeah.
And just claim yourself here.
Claim yourself. Oh, boy. All right.
So then the Pisces troops. Venus moves into Pisces on the 26th. So, yeah, I mean, this could be a nice way to capture your ability to receive, if that's kind of not how I would want to say it, I guess, to invite receptivity to flow and the dreams to come and to feel whole and peaceful at this time and to invite the message and the magic to come through from the other side and find pleasure in your own emotional journey and your own intuition and just kind of be in this receptive state here while all of this fiery action is happening at the same time. So this is kind of like, you know, fighting for the void or fighting to get into the other dimension in a way. There's some action happening, but allowing that channel to open and flow into it too, some really beautiful things can come through.
Yeah, I think you know, with this being coupled a few days later on the 28th with Mercury stationing direct in Pisces, it feels to me too that this Piscean quality of allowing is kind of implicitly tied in this kind of sloughing off of the extraneous matter, like the storylines that are keeping us kind of moored in these smaller places. And it almost feels like this kind of like radical act of like loving the whole, you know, that's coming through. And I was almost picturing someone running along the edge of the, like a shoreline, and rather than like having to dive completely into the emotional waters and like woo, it's also just like an ownership, but like an abiding at the shore of them. Like, I see you. Like, I see you, this kind of like vast extent of my feelings or these crazy fluctuations in feeling. But also, like, it felt to me like being able to claim, it doesn't have to be about romance, certainly not. I mean, Venus is about much more than that. It's about magnetics and receiving and, but to be able to kind of also stake a claim to exactly like even the highest romantic ideal or the highest vision that you want, like where are you still kind of equivocating on that or equivocating on, oh, well, maybe that's, you know, maybe it's too much, or maybe I shouldn't quite ask for that, or maybe that's too out there or too fantastical. It's also like this Aries energy is bringing that, is incarnating that. So, you know, don't be afraid to kind of grab at the thing and to speak into being something that you may have been holding really close to the chest that feels too out there, you know, to mm-hmm. share.
Yeah, this can bring like a freshness to the fantasy.
Yeah.
Like an enlivening and activating of all this kind of like murky, dreamy, flowy, emotional stuff that's just been churning, the yearning, all of it coming kind of to a point, to a spark able to come forward. And this could be, you know, I've been kind of so dreamy and emotional over the last few weeks. There's a part of me that's pushing away from Aries season starting. Like, I feel like I'm not really ready for it yet, or I don't really want to get super activated, or what could happen then? What if there's so much conflict or tension that comes from that? But this can be really pure.
Yeah.
This can be about pure manifestation and bringing something forward from, with all this Pisces Aries stuff going on, it can be like opening that channel, taking all those dreams and kind of sparking them into the reality so that they're alive for you on this dimension.
Yeah, it's almost like, I mean, not to belabor the image of like oceanic images with regard to Pisces energy, but it almost feels like, yeah, and I have the same kind of feeling of like, oh shit, like, oh, here we go, like Aries season, better rev my engines, oh God. But it feels almost like something is being gifted onto the shore that's going to be able to stick there. It's like a new vision or a new way, or, you know, something that's kind of the spark of the next movement forward. And it's like, you just like literally have to like sit on the shore and like wait for whatever the thing is to like wash up that's going to stick and not be pulled back out, you know, rather than like, oh, I got to make the plan. I got to like go to the, you know, gym of my soul and like figure out that like how to put all my muscle behind this thing. It's not even about that kind of push. It's about the receiving the clarity and the intentionality of like the thing that is arriving. Like there's something like Aries energy to me is so much about arrival. Like it's literally our debut onto the planet. And the spring equinox is the debut of another cycle. And so it feels like, how can you almost like sit in the waiting room of the arrivals and then receive yourself like coming off the plane, you know, in whatever form that you're going to come. And then like you accompany yourself and you begin on your journey. But it feels like that relationship between something arriving that you just have to be ready to receive with your wholeness, you
know? Or catch yourself coming through the birth canal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. And you're just like, boop, like,
oh, now I'm here. All right, what am I gonna do? Oh, am I crying? Okay. Yeah, we kind of skipped over this spring equinox, or, you know, in the northern hemisphere, and this is the beginning of the astrological calendar. It's the beginning of our astrological new year. And so personally, this is kind of like a little footnote in the middle of our podcast here, but to me, I like to try to lay claim to it and like kind of do a quick review of the year and look at what I'd planned in the new year, January 1st, and kind of think, okay, now can I actually now bring it forward? Because now things have been churning, things have been happening. What were my resolutions? What were my intentions? Okay, can they actually now start to become born? Because this astrological new year Aries season really invites the fire and the action to come forward.
Yeah, I am. You know, historically I've had, I don't want to say a lot of problems with this time of year, but it hasn't necessarily been an easeful one for me. And if you think about it, it's like, I don't know, there's so much with this Aries energy that's about finding kind of delight in friction, in the frictional kind of right to exist energy of sort of like busting out of something. But it's also like that feeling of literally, it's that kind of itch. Like I almost get this kind of like itchy feeling to my skin around this time of year where I feel like I'm literally gonna like jump out of my skin. And it's an interesting thing to just sort of like allow yourself to be with, I think, alongside maybe any intensity you feel about kind of reckoning with intentions or this kind of like beginning, this kind of new year flavor of it. It's like almost allow some degree of discomfort to be present here, and some degree of just that feeling that you're kind of getting sanded by things, or like sort of like there's something a little scratchy perhaps to it, like in your soul, and that there's nothing wrong with that, that there's not a problem. It's just sort of like you being born, you know, quite literally just sort of like being born in that kind of like, ooh, and like the kind of miasma or whatever, like the stuff that's getting like sloughed off from your body down the birth canal, and that whole kind of feeling of, because I think so much of the overarching theme for me, at least that came through, was this commitment with your whole body means like being fully in your skin. But it feels like the beginning of the season, there is a little bit perhaps of like a little bit of discomfort around that process of like getting, it's almost like getting back into your own skin. If that makes sense.
I love that. I get the same in the spring. I call it like, well, I don't really call it anything, but I just, spring happens and I'm like, ah, I'm so angry. Mm-hmm. Get me out of here.
Mm-hmm. Spring, I have to say, is like my least favorite season.
Me too.
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't put it on this like hierarchy because I understand the purpose of it completely. But yeah, it can be an itchy time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And I also do appreciate spring, but I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So let yourself kind of like lean into any feelings of agitation, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we have our ruler of Aries, Mars, on the 31st, shifting into the sign of Gemini, where it'll stay for the duration of Aries season and beyond. What do you make of this relationship between Mars's or Aries' ruler being in the sign of Gemini?
It's like if that hood ornament you're talking about could like just start talking to you. I mean, that's like a cartoon funny thing. Also, do you all listeners know what a hood ornament is? Do cars still have them?
I don't know. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess it's more prevalent in older cars.
Yeah.
But it's like similar to the mast, or is that what it's called? The masthead
of a ship? I was impressed when you said it. I was like, oh, that's a good word.
I didn't think I knew the word, and the word just came to me. But that might not be. The masthead is also Pisces. Like, I think masthead is something on the top of a newspaper, too. That's like the masthead.
Let's not go too deep into this.
Anyway. A hood ornament, you know, whatever, you can Google it, but it's basically a figure. It doesn't always have to be a human form. Sometimes it's a human form, sometimes it's
an animal. I
think
there's like one that's a horse, Mustangs.
Rams, all sorts of ornaments that are right on the front hood of the car that are kind of like this figurehead.
A little bling.
Yeah.
So if this hood ornament could talk, or if you could suddenly take all of this presence and this showing up for yourself and this kind of like, I'm going on my path, I'm breaking into a new path energy, and start to communicate about it. So what's your message now? This could help you formulate, this could help you claim your sovereignty, this could help you find others who can support you or guide you somehow or be allies. So this starts to make this whole process much more social than it was before this happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think when I was feeling into Mars and Gemini, it's also where I was getting this sensation almost of joyriding. Like there is, I mean, Gemini is a mutable sign. It's picking up myriad signals from the environment constantly. So I was thinking about this hood ornament, just being present for like the wind on its skin and the shifts in the weather. And Gemini is just collecting more information about, you know, adjustments and kind of course corrections, but it's in real time and it's really letting itself get bumped up against environmental signals. So it feels like a whole Aries season really too, to not, as much as you're moving perhaps in this direction, there's a directionality to it, to not get too heady about whether that's right or whether it's wrong or whether it needs, you know, we need to adjust. It's just sort of like rise to meet the moment, adjust a little bit, you know, maybe you're going to like take a turn off here. Gemini, Mars and Gemini energy always reminds me of like a honeycomb or some sort of structure where there's like myriad ways in and out of the same structure, because we're just like, we're curiously adjusting our approach and adjusting the way that we use our force constantly. And we're picking up a little more from the environment and then adjusting and picking up a little more and adjusting. So also not getting too agitated or too tense around whatever road you happen to be traveling down, like this Aries season, that it's not like the end all and be all, that there's going to be a left, a right, and like many paths in between too.
Mm-hmm. It makes me also think about what's happening with Mercury still being in Pisces, and it's like the Sun in Aries and Mars in Gemini. We want to communicate, we want to make so much happen, we want to share. Can you somehow help that process be grounded by your intuition, or maybe grounded is a strange word to use, but connected to the intuition? Because otherwise it's going to get disconnected. There could be a lot of talking, a lot of air and fire on the surface, but something dragging you down internally that's not actually help some inner core belief, some residual emotion that needs to be accessed so that you can actually be clear and direct and get through on the surface level. Did I make that make sense?
Yes.
This is the Mercury and Pisces talking again.
Yeah, we're still in it. We're still in it for sure. Talking to God and like many things in between.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's important to remember, or it bears mentioning, that Gemini, we also have to think about that Gemini and Aries are two little babes. Like these are two signs of the spring. I mean, we often think about Gemini season as our entry into summer in the Northern Hemisphere, but technically we're still in the spring at the end of Gemini season. But these are little fresh sprouts. Like I imagine them as little vines on plants or little microgreens or just little feelers. They're just out kind of feel it like out. Whoop, like I'm going to try to penetrate here. Let's see what's over here. Like, and so there's kind of that energy too of let it be, let there be some joy in that process of like, oh, here's a new way, or oh, whoops, that way didn't work, or like, bleh, you know, and like in its highest octave of expression, I feel like Aries, it just sort of goes, and then it's like, I'm like falling into this hole, or like the car's gone off course, or whatever, and then we just sort of like pull it out of the trench, and off we go again. And there is this energy in Gemini too of that, just that kind of dance of here I am, just sort of exploring the world as if for the first time. Yeah.
So then April 5th, we have our new moon in Aries. Is that the next thing you want to talk about?
Do we want to mention the Pluto North Node opposition before that?
Let's do it.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
Why not?
All right. So the Pluto North Node opposition, it starts to kind of activate at the end of March on the 31st. Mm-hmm. And then it fires up through Aries season. What were you? Yeah. You had some feelings about
this. Well, so this is also... Pluto North Node opposition is the same way as saying Pluto conjunct the South Node, if you want to get into the jargon. And so, you know, I think some teaching is helpful because North Node can be a new concept to some people. So the North Node is kind of like, how are you aligning with your current purpose and lessons and kind of doing something new? This is going to be like a new endeavor. This is going to be different from the experience that you already have. And it's about connecting in with this growth where you're budding forward. And so with the planet of grief and transformation on the South Node, which is kind of your past experience and everything that you've learned in your past lives or past life, this life, this could really bring up a lot of necessary transformation. This could really create some chance for healing. This isn't fast energy. This is very slow, and it's like kind of like releasing your grip and letting yourself really just be in a healing, grieving experience, which can involve all the things like anger and grief and bargaining and acceptance. And what's the fifth one? Denial, of course.
Oh, denial, yeah. Let's forget that one.
Yeah, so this is a little intense, you know, and it's as Beth said, it's happening throughout Aries season. So just go gentle, go easy, be tender, hold yourself like a little baby after you catch yourself coming down the birth canal. Rock yourself and coo to yourself. What do you think?
Yeah, the phrase that came through for me with this particular aspect and this ongoing dance of Pluto and the nodes was pack your own lunch. And I kept thinking about when I was a kid and I was really eager, very, very young to pack my own lunch. Like it was, you know, it was one of those like little kid things where you feel like you have this new level of responsibility for your selfhood and your choices. And it really feels like thinking about this opposition and, well, this communication between the nodes, between these energies of Capricorn and Cancer, which are all about protection, about security, both like soul, emotional security and material kind of pragmatic security. And it felt like an image that felt connected to both of those signs' energies. Like, where can you actually relish and revel in taking responsibility for your own life? Like, whether it's something as simple as the decisions you make about your meal or like what you're going to pack for lunch that day or something much more complex, how can we refine that sense of caretaking that actually feels like, oh, like connected to that staking the claim on the self, that, oh, I get to like take responsibility for myself, and that's not a burden, or that's not drudgery or filled with kind of like sweat and arduousness, that it's actually this delight in choosing what I know is going to be like fit my tastes and serve me the best. So that's what it was feeling like to me.
I like that. It's like control in the most kind of empowering way.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like when you're a kid and you just want control.
Yeah.
And you really need control. And so if you get to pack your own lunch, it can be a really healthy thing to do.
I would just pack the same thing for 1 year and then switch things.
That's exactly what I did. I started packing my lunch very young, not because I necessarily wanted to, but because I had to.
Right, yeah.
And every year, from like third grade to I think like maybe my junior year of high school, I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and an orange. The same. Like nothing else. That was it.
My favorite thing, we'll get off this in a second, but my favorite thing, it's important too to think about like what your kind of like that streamlined sensation of self-care. But my favorite lunch I think that I ever packed for like a year, maybe it was even 2 years, was pepperoni and cheese sandwich on a roll and a bag of pickles.
Whoa.
It was so good.
That sounds really good.
Oh, I think there might have been like a bag of like dry roasted peanuts too involved there.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a very savory kid.
Savory kid.
But yeah, just that kind of sheer delight coupled with this energy in Aries season of sloughing off, of simplicity, of aerodynamics, like getting to the core of like, how can I give myself exactly what I need in this moment in a way that both like takes responsibility, it's kind of this like reckoning and this rallying cry, but is also like deeply nutritive and supportive in that kind of Cancerian end of that axis.
I love that. So then did you have any images for this new moon coming through?
This new moon, all I could see was like ski jumpers. I have a lot of Olympic imagery in my brain all the time because I'm obsessed, but especially during Aries season, those ski jumpers that, you know, when they go off the end, their bodies are just Google ski, like images of like extreme ski jumping. They're so, talk about so streamlined, so aerodynamic, and their bodies are just like literally this little, you know, this little line, arms down at the sides. And this new moon felt so much about stripping the extraneous in kind of an extreme way and getting to the essence and literally, not that you have to move quickly through space, but how can you move with like total intentionality and whole body commitment and like get rid of anything literally that is kind of like slowing down the movement in the direction that your kind of soul wants to expand in. But how can you still have kind of like flair while you're doing that, like that fiery kind of force? And so I was seeing like ski jumpers, and I was also seeing like people on trapezes, anything where you're like moving through the air in that way. But I was also seeing like their clothes basically like falling off as they were going to, like stripping like basically everything from the body. And then you're just like this naked sprout flying through the air.
That's so great. I think that your symbol, did you have something else you want to share about it?
Okay. No.
So I think your symbol, once you hear my symbol, what I'm going to say is that your symbol should be like the lead symbol. And then my symbol might be kind of like the shadow.
Is this the creepy one?
It's a little creepy. There's more creepiness. It's all creepy. So my symbol might be the shadow of this, which is it's like a person who's a protester, who has a sign, a protest sign, but they're at like a fork roads in the middle of nowhere. Like they're just in like a desolate place. There's no one else around, and they're just, but persistently protesting whatever it is that they're protesting. And so they're just happy about it. Like they don't even mind that there's no one watching or listening, and they're just there doing this thing.
Yeah.
And there's almost no effect from it. Like there's no, there's almost nothing that comes out of it, but it's still happening.
This feels so connected too to this kind of start of Aries season and this manifesting the self to the self, like like getting behind your own back, or backing yourself, but also like show yourself to yourself.
Totally.
And like if a self falls in the forest, is anyone, you know, like this kind of like this feeling, like literally, like what if, like what if nothing, like what if like no dents to the earth. I mean, so much of Aries energy is tied up in this question of potency and making something happen, quote unquote. And what if it was just totally lean, totally like you're saying, this image of what if your force was literally only for yourself, only for the animation of your own body. what if it didn't really have to go anywhere?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, could you be happy with that?
Yeah.
Like, could you be like, that's what I needed? And maybe not. You don't, I don't think you need to be necessarily. I don't know you, so.
I don't know you.
Well, I don't know your story. We do, yeah. Please say hi to us. We'd love to hear from you. But yeah, I think it's just interesting kind of pairing, too. Pairing your, like, kind of exuberant, exalted energy and expertise and action. And you said something really great. It was, like, this kind of, like, holding that shape of exciting. Just. Mm-hmm. And then there's also this kind of person out there who's just fighting by themselves.
Yeah.
But maybe for a cause.
Yeah.
And maybe it matters.
Yeah. And sometimes the only cause is, like, the reaffirmation that we have a right to, like, be here as we are, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just, it's like a deep conversation within the internal channel, that question of, of backing yourself in that way.
So good. Mm. So then, what do you have next on your little list?
On my little list, well, I have Jupiter retrograde on the 10th.
Uh-huh.
And then I know that you wanted to discuss also Saturn square, or I mean, sorry, the Sun square Saturn and Pluto.
Yeah, yeah.
Around the same time.
Yeah. Let's talk Jupiter retrograde first. Hmm.
All right.
So I think you and I kind of feel the same about the outer planets retrograde.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, well, maybe I'll let you start.
I mean, I kind of ignore them, but not really always. Like, if it makes sense to bring them up, that's good. And they go retrograde a lot. So it's important, but not as important to me personally as Mercury, Venus, and Mars retrograde. But Jupiter retrograde is going to give us an opportunity to remagnetize potentially, kind of like take that magnet and charge it up and raise the vibration and see if there's anything, do a little investigation to see like what's in the way of our vibration expansion and being in our most expanded kind of energized self that's mm-hmm. attracting the most luck.
Yeah. It feels connected to me, especially to your image of the protester in the forest or wherever. The image that I got, almost, it's a very strange one, but and I feel like maybe it happens in more, I've seen it in cartoons, but I guess you see it, you can sort of see it sometimes vibrationally actually in the world, like a nightclub or a dance club, when the music is pounding so intensely from the inside that you, if you're like walking by on the street, you can see almost like the building like vibrate, like boom, 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 like the building vibrating. And Jupiter is this like totally spillage, Vegas, rolling the dice, kind of expansive takeoff, plane takeoff kind of energy about busting wide and busting open. And it feels like with the retrograde motion, it's almost like you have a little nightclub like in your soul and it's like boom, boom, but it's like pulsing on the inside. So it's almost, it's, you know, in many ways it's a different, similar to the rest of Aries season, it's kind of a different iteration of like an energy that wants to be out in the world, making things kind of happen, or like, or just, or letting the self kind of expand through exploration and through kind of external. And when any planet goes retrograde, there's a chance to kind of invite that energy internally. So it feels to me like a really supportive force that helps us to kind of find, I mean, this sounds like so esoteric, but find almost that, like almost the inner, like the inner parts of the emotional body, like where they can be expanded. That doesn't need to be like, oh, like grasping for something in the external world, or like learning something new, or taking a trip, or like where can you get curious about your own kind of innards almost, mm-hmm. and find almost a sense of internal expansion. That all sounds very out there, but I don't know, I kept seeing this image of this little nightclub pulsing in someone's chest.
I love that. And yeah, it's like a chance to find your kind of own inspirational quote.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of like, that was like the distillation I was looking for. Like, what is your kind of internally facing like theme?
Yeah.
Theme song, basically.
Yeah. Like what theme song? That's a good one. Yeah. Inspirational quote or theme song. Like what's going to really drive you forward now in this Aries season. And at some point the sun is, you know, because the sun is in Aries, it's trying Jupiter too. So it's just like a real chance to kind of fill your gas tank.
Yeah. And it almost like puts me in the mind of in a lot of sports dramas, or, you know, if you're a performer, if you've prepared actually for anything big, and there's like that moment of behind the scenes where you're giving yourself the pep talk, or like the coach is giving the pep talk, and maybe you're like, you have your headphones on you. I mean, I'm going to bring up the Olympics again, but you see it with like intense sporting events where someone who's about to perform will have like their personal headphones on, and they're just like in there. You don't know what they're listening to, like Michael Phelps or whomever. But they're like in there, they're getting in their zone. This is what it, like, Jupiter retrograde energy kind of feels like in the context of this Aries season too. Like, what is your form of going into your own back room before you have to debut something or come out or be in the external world? And like, what is the song that's on your headphones? It's like revving your own engine from the inside out.
So good. I love that part of the sports drama where like the team's practicing and they're like, it's a montage.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready and you're seeing them get better and better.
My God, I love a sports drama so
much. Me too. So the Sun square Saturn and Pluto coming around April 10th here. So this is something that's going to be happening here and there every couple of months or so. And we're all just trying to get better. You know, we're just trying to get better. We're trying to make it work. We're trying to make our lives work. We're trying to make our money work. We're trying to make our traditions work, our government work. And it's work. It's going to keep being work. And we're going to have to keep showing up. And we're going to have to keep toning. We're going to have to keep putting the elbow grease in. And it's hard. You know, like, it's not really the kind of thing that we can just breeze through. And we're getting used to that, actually, I think. And we have to continue to get used to it so that we can optimize and up level and all show up at our best where we are, but like kind of at our best. Like, we can't actually mess around. Yeah. That's my like coach in the locker room kind of talk to the team.
I'm scared. No. Yeah, it feels like no more messing around, but like letting that be a kind of liberation. I mean, with these two outer planets, you know, Saturn and Pluto, this is a turning over of the earth. I mean, if we think of the image of Saturn connected to Capricorn, connected to the earth element, connected to being in our bodies, like doing what we came here to do, and Pluto with this huge, this massive potential to turn over, to literally, you know, kind of uproot and sift over the contents of and transform in that way. It feels to me like this is almost this added energy of like breaking what's breaking you. And we all know there's something in our lives where we know we've had enough of that, of being, of being in this way, you know, because the Sun is about being, about self-expression, about our own individual force. And we know where we're not in alignment. Like, and this isn't like, I don't know, to spark the fear of whatever, we're not like trying to like bully you through this, but it feels like there's a little bit of, it doesn't need to be self, like harsh words to the self, but there's a little bit of a moment of that coach or that kind of agitator, that frictional agitator inside of you that's like, all right, like let's no more messing around. Like where is this just like breaking me? This way of not showing up in full alignment or not bringing the whole essence of what I know that I'm here to bring, that is actually... It's harder to rail against the becoming of who we've incarnated to be. I mean, there's definitely risks with the kind of solitary nature of becoming and like claiming fully that, which may disconnect us from some others or some patterns that we feel like are keeping us safe. But this is a real aspect to kind of harness that sports drama inside of you and that voice of... you know, and it doesn't need to be about sort of hierarchical, like, I'm bad and I've got to get better or I've got to, like, fix this. It's just, like, no more. Like, no. It would actually just be more easeful for me to show up as my full self and work it from that angle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Full self again.
Full
self. Showing up.
No, full self. All the self.
That's our title. Show up.
Show up. Pack your own
lunch.
Which
is really hard to do.
Yeah.
It's really, I feel like so much of our world just tells us over and over again not to do that.
Yeah.
That there's a cost to it.
Right. The other cost is much higher.
Yeah.
To continue to sort of disown parts of ourselves or to tamp them down. Does that even work?
Yeah.
Yeah, or to turn the volume down on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, And then we have Mercury going into Aries on the 17th. And then we have our second full moon in Libra on the 19th. The grand finale of Aries season, because the sun will be moving into Taurus the next day on the 20th. All right. This full moon. What are you feeling, double Libra?
This one is like a seesaw gone wrong.
Oh, no.
All my symbols are so, but this is almost like it could be I could see it almost like an image on an oracle card, like a very kind of poetic looking image. So maybe gone wrong isn't the right way to say it, but it's like some kind of seesaw configuration. And then there's like two very strong people who are equally weighed and equally kind of like formed. Mm. And they're each kind of hanging off of an end and like holding on with their arms and hanging off the end. So there's this balance happening in it. So it's still balanced, but there's like a muscle in it too. Like there's like a work and an effort that's happening. It's like we've come somewhere. Right. We made it through from the like trekker, the hiker who's like just got to get there, got to get to balance. Now we've gotten some more balance here. We're still not on top of it necessarily. We're still kind of hanging on. But we're there, we're working, we're showing up, and it's equally weighted. So there's some chance of like making it last somehow, maybe in a better configuration.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
I'm sitting with that image for a minute. The two things that came through for me, I mean, it's an extension, it feels like this full moon is like the grand finale of like defending the one we love, like defending ourselves. Mm. And I kept seeing, and I don't really remember the plot of this movie, but there was a movie in the early 90s called Defending Your Life. And it was about I don't think it would be purgatory, but it was basically about people in some sort of form of the afterlife. And this form of the afterlife, Meryl Streep was in it, and maybe like Albert Brooks. And they literally had to go on trial to defend their lives, like defend the choices they've made, defend like everything that had kind of gone down. And this moon felt so connected to that concept to me, of basically, again, this kind of ultimate claiming of your own story and kind of a sloughing off of regret or any kind of equivocation of... I mean, but also a clear seeing. I mean, Libran energy, this intense Libran energy, also sparking a kind of clarity of like, all right, let's take a real accounting here of like what's gone down in order to pave the way forward for a more easeful kind of alignment of self. And then I kept seeing also this image almost of like a makeshift shelter or like a wedding tent, like almost like a wedding where, similar to your image, actually, I think of the seesaw and these two people are, did you say seesaw?
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason then I was like, did she say that? Like this almost like potentially like perfect quote unquote event, like a wedding. And then this huge like rainstorm or something, like a huge storm coming through and everyone kind of working to assemble to put up the tent. And that kind of almost that liberation too from like polarity, that it has to be like perfect, it's like all or nothing. Like there can be this energy around the Libra Aries axis where it's very like cut and dry, it's very like black and white, it's like all or nothing, like yes or no, this kind of like us or me, like whatever the thing is. And but also kind of a softening around that image of like, all right, we're just going to put up the tent. Like, here are the conditions. Like, we're just going to erect it kind of our own resources, and we're going to continue to dance under it or whatever the thing is. And that there can also be a kind of delight in staking kind of a claim to yourself, you know, in the context of that sort of defending your life. And then the phrase stay gold came through too.
Stay gold.
Stay gold. You know, yeah. This is... You know, it can be a frictional season. It can be a season where a certain degree of musculature, a certain degree of fullness of self needs to be present, a certain resilience. But that there's also something in this full moon that's about that recovery of the essence or recovery of the essential power of the self to renew, you know, again and again, and to keep sort of showing up and refining and, yeah.
Beautiful. So stay gold, fire travelers.
Yeah, this was in true fashion. I feel like as we talk through each season, we do it in the flavor of the season. Like, yeah. Aries, I think it was like quick and dirty. It might be a little shorter than usual. And Pisces, I think we were just like wandering through the swamps for like hours. And but yeah, the form is also the message, mm-hmm. the form that it's delivered in. So yeah, I think stay gold, defend your own life, shake it off.
Light your internal fire.
Keep
it burning.
Yeah, and pack your own lunch. Yeah. Decide what you'd like to bring on your journey, because it's within your power to choose.
Yes.
All right. And until next season, Taurus season, which will be just around the corner, starting the 20th.
Starting with a bang.
Yeah.
As the sun comes conjunct to Uranus.
Oh, yeah. It'll be, yeah, a lot to feast on. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, please reach out to us either on our personal channels, Sandy Citron and Vesma Tassa, and also on the Numinous and the Now Age podcast about what you'd like to hear about, any thoughts. We'd always love to hear from you. And as always, also, if you're enjoying this, feel free to share it with your friends. And if you would like to see it reaching more people, something super simple you can do is just to go to the ratings on iTunes. No matter where you listen, you can go on there and, you know, give it a little rating. We'd love it if you'd give it a lot of stars if you're enjoying it. It helps it be found and reach other people. And we'll speak with you soon.
Bye.
Thank you, Bess and Sandy, for that beautiful deep dive into Aries season energies. I'm really excited to be starting this astrological new year with all of you with that very exciting announcement coming up that I mentioned earlier. Please do keep following. Looking forward to seeing you next week with another really beautiful deep conversation with one of my favorite people. Look out for the announcement about that soon. For now, that's all from me. This podcast features original music and is edited by alloaudio.com, www.alloaudio.com.